We're going to, this morning we're back in the book of Daniel in chapter 7. It's been a long time since we've had a look, and I don't know if I've confused you more than helped you, but we're going to have a go again. Daniel chapter 7, and today I'm going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to start from verse 9, but I'm going to read the whole chapter, and we make our way down to the end. And we'll see how we go. Let me read Daniel chapter 7. Now remember, we've already been over this first 8 verses, and we'll see. We'll read it just to refresh our minds. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and he told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had 3 ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it 4 wings of a fowl. The beast had also 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and he made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are 4 kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the 4th beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell. even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld in the same horn that made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it until the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole earth shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitation much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Let me pray here. Now, Father, as I come before you this day, Lord, I just pray that you'd give me understanding. Help me, Father, with your word. Father, I confess I know nothing, and I confess I need all the help I can get, Lord. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit may lead me and teach me this morning. I pray for every head bowed that it may be open to your word, open to the leading of your Spirit, and that, Lord, the name of Jesus may be uplifted this day. Bless us, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning we're back in Daniel chapter 7. And at first glance, this dream of Daniel's is scary to say the least. Even the prophet Daniel is much troubled by what he sees. In verse 15 he says, I was grieved in my spirit. In verse 28 he says, my cognitations, in other words my thoughts, much troubled me. He says, my countenance changed in me. In other words, he says, I couldn't get it out of my mind. So much so that you could see the effect it was having on my outward appearance. Folks, you talk about dreams and nightmares. You know, I get scared, you turn the light off, I get a bit windy. But this was on the next level. It was disturbing. And it showed. The old being of Daniel showed it. But as we read this morning, we read this particular passage, and we look at this particular passage in Daniel chapter 7, it's not all doom and gloom. It's not all fear with trembling, because right through this chapter, now if you read it, and you read it and read it, you can have a look at it, there are some great encouragements there given by the Lord to not only stay focused on what is happening in the world today, but get excited. Get excited, because you know what? In the end, everything's going to happen. But in the end, God's going to win. He's going to win. And victory is ours, according to the word. Victory is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we're going to look at 3 points from this particular passage that will hopefully help us to understand what is being said here. It will help us to understand what Daniel is trying to tell us. You know, what a dream Daniel had. One that he could not understand, and one that had left him troubled. It left him disturbed. And that is saying something, because see, in Daniel had a gift from God. A gift of interpreting dreams. If you go back to chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, as for these four children, who were they? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. He says, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And then it says about Daniel, he says, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams, and yet he has this so-called nightmare, whatever it was, and he didn't understand it. He was at a loss to know what the meaning of it was, what he had just dreamt. So in this particular passage, he asks someone who stood by, which I would presume is an angel. He wanted to know the truth of all what he saw. So he was given the interpretation of it. He was given the interpretation. Remember the four beasts which were seen? It says they represented four kings, four kingdoms. The lion spoke of Babylon, the kingdom under Nebuchadnezzar. The bear was Cyrus and his Medo-Persian Empire, which was followed not too long after by the leopard, which represented the Greeks, Alexander the Great. Then lastly came along this indescribable creature, a creature that was so hideous that it caused Daniel much grief. You know, Daniel, if you read that first six chapters of Daniel, Daniel was not a man who thought much about fear, and yet he was a beast, a creature so hideous that it caused Daniel much grief. You know, this I believe spoke, and it speaks of Rome and the coming Antichrist. All kingdoms that came before him wanted power. All kingdoms of empires that came before him would have their time in the sun, and all would reign for a period of time. But we are told and we are shown to fear not, because there is encouragement given. Encouragement given by the Lord. See, these axes of evil, they're limited by the God of heaven. No matter how powerful they seem to be, they are limited by the God of heaven. Verse 18 starts off by saying, but, they may be great, they may be mighty kingdoms of this world, but, listen to this, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. See, all earthly kingdoms, all earthly kings, they're given rule by God. They don't get in there by chance. You know, we sit there and we get voting, what, next week? And we vote for Mins or Perotate. Whoever gets in, it's the Lord who will install him. It won't be our vote. The Lord will install him. And all kingdoms get in because God puts them in the place. They rule because God allows them to do so. You know, even now we look around the world and we see China the way they're carrying on, and Russia the way they're trying to kill everyone over in Ukraine. But they're given their power because God allowed them to have it. Even now they look like everything's out of control, but no, it's not. Folks, God is still on his throne. The waters of the sea, they only come as far as God allows them to. Even the devils and the demons are limited into what they can do. They're restricted by God's power. If you ever read Job, Satan had to ask God what he could, how far he could go with him, and God put a limit on him. Even today, God puts a limit on him. See, in the end, those who truly belong to the Most High shall possess the kingdom. That's what it's saying. Not for a set time in history. See, all these kingdoms, they had a little bit of power, they had a little bit of pleasure, but God brought them to an end. But when the saints shall possess the kingdom, it's not for a set time in history, as these mentioned have done, but they shall possess the kingdom forever and forever, it says. You know, is this speaking of some millennium kingdom on earth? I don't believe so, because the saints' possession is forever and ever. Those who Christ has chosen for his own, those who have a relationship with the Saviour, will be given their inheritance, and then the inheritance that shall last forever. But until then, things of this earth and its rulers have designed everything to bring about the downfall of everything that God has put in place. They have designed everything to bring about the downfall of Christians, those who serve the living God. They oppose, the world opposes all that God has put into place that it might follow in his will. But the world seeks to destroy. See, in 2 Corinthians 3:12 it says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." If you're going to follow the Lord Jesus, if you're going to serve and submit to the authority of God, you shall suffer persecution. They must go through much torment. They must be persecuted. But folks, the encouragement is, be assured, because their reward is assured in heaven. In Matthew 5:10 it says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Why? Because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We have an eternal possession waiting for us, and that possession is with the Lord. Daniel was a bit perplexed by what the image of the fourth beast showed. See, the description given of this beast, and especially the fourth one, is one of much power. They all, like great conquerors, seek to instill fear into everyone they come in contact with. Even now, all these kingdoms of the world, they seek to instill fear in everyone. They present themselves as formidable foes who not only beat, but crush all into submission. And they give the impression that their reign will last forever. You know, Putin wants to set up a Russian kingdom that will last all time, for a long time. But God shows again that their time is limited. All kingdoms that are set up are only for a season. The beast time is only for a season. In verse 21 it says, "I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them." And then he says in verse 22, he says one little word, he says, "until." Until. The same little horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Until. There was a limit to it. There was a limit to it. This is the rise of the Antichrist. But even the Antichrist could only do what God allowed him to do. He will only do what God allows him to. He rises as the leader of the world. This is the world's leader that the world has been waiting for. And may I say, even been longing for. See, the nations of the world don't want God of heaven. The people of the earth don't care for the things of God. They use the name of Jesus as a swear word. They curse and they laugh openly about his death upon the cross. So folks, when an alternative to the Lord is presented, they jump at the opportunity, and they will jump at the opportunity to serve him. When the Antichrist appears, they will fall over backwards that they might be on his team. He is someone who supposedly can bring peace, and he does for a little while. He supposedly can provide a solution to the Middle East problem, and he does for a little while. Someone who promises much, but he is someone who will only deliver a little. This is the Antichrist. This is the man of sin who will cause both great and small to bow before him. As Revelation 3:13 says, he is the one who will demand total allegiance from all his followers, giving everyone a mark that without one They cannot either buy, they cannot buy or sell. This is the one who will seek worship in the place of God. And he is the one who will speak great words of blasphemy against the God of creation. You know, you think that the Lord's name is being pulled through the mud now. Wait till the Antichrist turns up. But we need to be encouraged, because it only happened for a little while. Until, you know, in verse 25 says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and seek to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hands until time and times and the dividing of times. He shall speak great words," great words. "He shall speak blasphemy against the Most High." And you know what? The world will love it. They will love it. Not only love it, they'll rejoice in it. Because they hate God and despise his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because they despise them, they despise a Christian. If you're a follower of the Lord today and you stand up for the name of Jesus, the world doesn't love you. You only need to look at TV. You hear what is said to know that Jesus is made out to be just a joke by the world. You know, we're conditioned by the world that it's okay for them to carry on like that. Because no harm is really done. No one is hurt by what is spoken on the big screen, they think. They try to tell you. But that's what Satan wants you to hear. That's what the old devil wants you to think. You know, in Exodus 20 and verse 7 it says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." You know, we hear about blasphemy. We hear about them all calling the Lord everything and anything. The Bible talks about a record, a book of record. Record is talking about in Malachi. That those who spoke often one with another. But I believe there's a record of everyone who speaks bad about the name of our Lord and our Saviour, and he will bring it to account. You know, the enemy will do all they can to bring down the name of Jesus, and the world loves it. You know, as Christians, we shouldn't be like one of those who sit back and laugh at the jokes. When we hear it, we should turn right away, walk away, have nothing to do with them. Don't even stand in their presence. You know, I hope you're not one of those who laugh at the jokes. You hear the name of Jesus dragged through the mud and you stand there and listen to it all. We need to switch all. We need not to give place to the devil by listening to all that rubbish. You know why? Because the mighty name of Jesus must be lifted up, not brought low down, not brought low and ridiculed, but needs to be lifted up. The Antichrist will not only blaspheme the name of Jesus, he'll do everything in his power to hurt anything that the Lord has blessed. He will not only blaspheme the name of Jesus, but he will also persecute all those who claim him as their Lord and Saviour. And you know what? He'll look to wipe out his people. He'll look to wipe out all Israel. You know, we read it in Revelation 13 and verse 5, and he says, "There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwelt in heaven." This is the Antichrist that's coming. This is the Antichrist that will be dealt with by God himself. He shall not only speak blasphemy, he shall persecute those who serve the living God. Verse 21 says, "I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and he prevailed against them." Folks, in the days to come, in those days, many shall die at the hand of this wicked world leader. Many of God's people will succumb to martyrdom. Many shall lose their heads because of the actions of this demon-possessed man. And the world will rejoice at it. The world will rejoice at it. What a wicked world it is, eh? What a wicked world it shall be. But remember, it's only for a season. It's only for a season. Because nothing happens without God knowing about it or allowing it to be. This man will not only seek to kill all those who claim the name of Jesus, but he will encompass all mankind to his evil plan, which will lead them to total destruction for everyone. See, it's not just about the Christians. He's going to wipe out. He's going to seek to wipe out everyone. He'll use them for a little while, but he'll seek to wipe out everyone. Verse 23 says, "He shall devour the whole earth. He shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces." Folks, he's not worried about establishing his own kingdom. What he wants to do is destroy everything that God has put in place. And for that period of time, God will allow him to run roughshod over the earth. For that period of time, God will give him his way, that he may do everything he can to destroy what God has put there. But in the end, God will have his way, because his time is limited. The enemy's time is limited. In verse 11 says, go back to verse 11, it says the beast will be destroyed. He'll be destroyed. He'll be given to the fire. In other words, his final destination, this man of sin, is the lake of fire. And in that lake of fire, he will suffer for all eternity, just like all those who turn their back upon the free gift of eternal life offered by our Lord Jesus Christ. This man blasphemed, he cursed, and he caused the whole world to stand against the Creator. But in the end he shall fall, and in the end all those who follow him shall fall. In the end all those who follow him shall be judged and cast into the lake of fire with him. See, in verse 13 he says, "I saw in a night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven." That's going to be neat. "And came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." Folks, Jesus is coming again. And he's coming not as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's coming as the King of Kings. He's coming as the Lord of Lords. He is coming in the clouds of heaven to execute judgment on everything unholy. He is coming to separate the sheep from the goats. The Bible says he's coming for his own, who he died for on the cross of Calvary. He's coming. Those who have confessed him before men, those who have bowed their knee before him in complete surrender, shall see him face to face. Those who have a relationship with the God of heaven that shall last for all eternity. Torment, persecution only lasts for a season, but Christ's dominion shall last for all eternity. For all eternity. It says in verse 14, "And there was given him," Jesus, "dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, all nations, all languages shall serve him. His dominion is the everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. His kingdom is that which shall not be destroyed." Folks, we are on the victor's side. Every knee shall bow before him. Every eye shall see him. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. The world is in a mess, but it's only going to get worse. But remember, it's only for a season. It won't be forever. If you don't know Jesus today, I pray that you will. Don't put it off any longer. What you need to do is surrender all to him. Either if you don't surrender all to him, you will bow before the Antichrist. So let's pray, and then we'll have a cup of tea, eh? Father, we pray and we just commit everything unto you. Everything that was said, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to make sense of it. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit may teach us and lead us, and that, Lord, we may understand that we serve a risen Saviour, a Saviour that shall reign for all eternity. Lord, you are God, there is no other. Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross for us. And we thank you, Lord, that you're coming again. And you're coming not as a babe, but you're coming victorious. You're coming to stand on the Mount of Olives. And you're coming to call your people unto yourself. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for being there for us. Bless us, watch over and keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.